but we do all right. Joshua 1, if you will. We're back in Joshua 1 this week. I was going to take one step further, but didn't quite get done last week, and so I just thought I needed some things here that I needed to get to. Last week I spoke on this topic, guaranteed formula for success, of Joshua 1:8, and we didn't quite get to Joshua 1:8. I got close, but didn't quite get there. So we're going to finish that up today, and I'm calling this Observing the Book of the Law, okay? Observing the Book of the Law. Joshua 1, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. And reminder for our folks, Joshua was the one who actually took the children of Israel into the Promised Land. They had been in captivity, in the chains of bondage, which we are all born. You know, we're born into the chains and the bondage of sin. We're stuck there. We're born that way, but we don't have to stay there. That's the wonderful thing. And so if you think about generation after generation after generation of people were born, 400 years. Our country's been here around for 240 years, whatever it is, you know, and this was 400 years. So generation after generation, this is the way life was. You're born, you're Israelite, you're in bondage. That's just the way it is. There are the haves and the have-nots, and I'm one of the have-nots, and that's just the way it has to be, is the way they thought. And they cried unto the Lord, and the Lord said he would release them. So he sent Moses down to rescue them, if you will. Took them out. The people paid them to get out of town. They head out of town. They get to the Red Sea, and they didn't know what to do. He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God parts the Red Sea, and they go across. They look into the Promised Land and see a bunch of giants, and we can't handle this. Let's go back where we came from. Oh, no. But they wandered around in the wilderness. God saves you not to keep you in the wilderness, but to get you to the Promised Land. And really, this is part of what he's talking about here. He says, now, Joshua, we're going to try this thing again. We're outside of Promised Land. Let's do it right this time. So he starts going back and giving them all the details, how we need to do this, how we need to live, how we're going to get the blessing of God and feel like we're living in the Promised Land, not feel like we're living in the wilderness. If you don't do it the way God's way, God wants you to do it, you're going to feel like you're in a wilderness. You may have houses and cars and a beautiful wife, but she might be meaner than a snake. Maybe it's you that's meaner than a snake. And you're not going to feel like you're living in the Promised Land when you're living with a snake. And God said, we can fix some things here. We can be successful. And so he's giving Joshua some instructions. And so let's pray, and then we'll start reading, because I start reading, I'll start preaching. I think it happened last week, and I don't want that to happen again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us and giving us your word and giving us that guaranteed formula for success. Problem is, Lord, we're so hard-headed. We just want to do it our way. We want to have our prize now and rewards now, but we don't want to do the work for it. And somehow, but Lord, we can't steal. That's being a thief. I'm not going to bless that. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see in your word, speak to your hearts, and Lord, help us live in the Promised Land. Help us live and have the victory that you want us to have, as we sang a little earlier this morning. But the victory is in Jesus. The victory is not in the fight, it's in the surrender to you. So, Lord, I pray that you'll bless us here this morning. We need to hear from you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let me say just a couple things before we read. Many folks go to God looking for the peace that comes from a confident expectation. We're talking about the hope. Jesus, our hope. You say, well, I'm in a marriage, but there's no hope. I'm in a financial situation, but there's no hope. I've got kids, and it's a mess, and it's just getting worse, and there feels like there's no hope. There is hope. But we can't have the hope if we don't do it God's way. The peace that comes from a confident expectation. That's what hope is. It's not cross your fingers. It's saying God can do it. When God gives us instructions on how to acquire that hope, too often we argue in our hearts with God over the requirements that God has. So we try to adjust the program. We try to sidestep the program, try to find a loophole someplace, and try to do our own thing. Then we wonder why it's not working. So we want to check out some other things for a while. Some options on our right hand, some options on our left hand. But when we've done that, we've moved away from the promises of God and the stipulations he has on success, and we can no longer claim the promise. Joshua 1, verse 1. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." Of course, they all knew that. But he was stating that to say, so you're wondering what's going to happen now, aren't you, Joshua? I mean, Moses was the one who's been leading you. Moses is the one that got us out of here, got us through the wilderness, got us over the Red Sea. This is Moses. Now, being used of God, but this is Moses. Kind of has a special in with God, you know. And now Moses is dead. What are we going to do? "Now, therefore, arise." They're having a good time over there. Honest, that's what it is over there. "Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I," past tense, "given unto you." It's yours. It's committed to you. It's counted as yours. It's assigned to you. It's appointed to you. It's yours if you will just take it the proper way. And he did so, as he says, as I said unto Moses. Verse 4, "From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates." "And all the land of Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast." Watch. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." In other words, success is already determined. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee." Now think about that. I will not fail thee. So well, then why am I in such a mess? Because you failed him. How'd you do that? By just not following the rules. By not doing what he said. Well, sometimes that's not as much fun. Okay, then go ahead and fail. But after a while, failure is not fun. He says, "I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." God promises, "I'm not walking away from you." Now, you may walk away from me, God's saying, but I'm not walking away from you. If you want to walk in the mud, have at it. I'm not going there. If you want to walk in the sin, have at it, but I'm not going there. Now, I may throw you a life jacket. I might grab you by hand and pull you out when you say, "Lord, save me," like old Peter did when he started to fall in the water. But I'm not going down in that mess with you. So he says, watch me. He says, verse 6, "Be strong." Now, watch me now. "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear." God, who cannot lie, has given his word. "I swear unto their fathers to give them." Now, last week we learned a couple things we'll do real quick. Number one, we must decide. There's way too many people who run around, just take day by day, however the wind blows. Well, let's see what happens today. Today I'll do this, today I won't do this. Today I'll do this instead. You know what, parents, that's one of the ways we frustrate our kids. One day, we say, this is wrong, we can't do it, absolutely cannot, and you knock them off at the knees. Next day, you come home, you're too tired to mess with it, go ahead, I don't know. You know what she said? It really doesn't matter. That's what you just taught them. The rules of your house don't matter. It's all about how you feel. So we've taught our children these things. But wait a minute, he says, listen, we must decide that we're going to hang on to God's word. Watch, he says, decide, verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Only be thou strong. Fasten onto, grip, get a grip on, seize it, restrain it, don't let it go. Be very courageous, alert, steadfast-minded, obstinate about, narrow-minded about God's word. Now, don't be mean about it, but we're not moving. Only, and you know what? It takes more fortitude, more strength. Listen, it takes almost more of a man to do it God's way than to do it man's way. Sometimes it'd be a whole lot easier for me to just kind of wind up and knock some sense in somebody than to say, well, all right, now let's deal with this thing here. All right, let's deal with truth. That's almost harder. at the moment. In the long run, he probably has a fist too. And probably a big brother. Only, listen, we cannot approach this process half-heartedly. We must decide. Number two, we found out we must decide to do. It's not to decide to agree with. It's not to decide that it looks good. It's not to decide that God's right. All those things are true. You kind of have to go through that, but we got to decide to do. He says, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous that thou mayest observe to do according to all. Observe, look for it. Put it on the top list. It's a priority. Watching out for it. I'm going to make sure I do according to all. Completely. Just like observe. Be picky about it. Well, I'm close enough. Well, that's all right. No, I'm going to say, I'm going to do everything I do to the best of my ability to obey God. We can't play games. We need to stop playing games with our lives. We follow the world playing Russian roulette with our lives. And if we want hope, we need to live intentionally according to His Word, according to all that's written therein. We can't just talk about doing right. We can't just talk about how others are not doing right. It's amazing how we do that. Well, I know I'm not, but you see what they're doing. Okay, so you're both failures. Does that make yours better than theirs? I'm not trying to be mean. He says, I want to give you success, but you got to do it the way I have designated to be done. We can't just talk about it. We can't talk about what everybody else is doing. We can't just give the appearance of doing right. We must do right from the depths of our heart. We live on purpose. We must decide to do it, decide to do, and verse 7, the Decalogue. We talked about that. It says, only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest subdue according to all that's written therein. To all the law, to observe, to do according to all the law, the precepts, the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, that he constituted. It's not just a recommended process. It's a required process. Now, the better, I'll be honest with you, the better you, God doesn't throw us into a trash can. You know that as well as I do. His mercies are new every morning. I talked to Brother Bill this morning. I said, what's new this morning? He says, well, His mercies are new every morning. I like that. That's good. That's real good. That's what's new this morning. His mercies are new. And I'm so glad His mercies are new. But the fact is, I don't want to have to press on His mercies all the time. Mercy is one thing. Watch me. Mercy means I don't get the punishment I deserve. But I don't want to just not get the punishment. I'd like to get some of the goodies. Grace is Him giving us what we don't deserve. The goodness, the gracious, the miracle-working power of God that we don't deserve. I'd like to get on some of that too. And so we need to decide we're going to do what He's asked us to do. And He says, there's a lot of people who profess and they want to believe that they live by the Ten Commandments. I mentioned last week they don't even know them. They couldn't name them if they had to. Now, hold your place there. And I didn't do this last week, but I wanted with the context of what we're doing here this morning, I want you to see this. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We teach this in kids' club. Well, good. You should put it in kids' club. And it used to be on the walls of the schools. And it should be on the walls of the schools. But we should write them on our heart. Now, you could say, well, okay, all right. I'm going to read these. We're not going to spend a lot of time today because we're going to spend some time on these things. We have forgotten. We think as long as we're not a mass murderer, then we're good. Exodus 20, verse 1 says, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. You've been around here long, you know what capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D means. That means Jehovah, the self-existing one, the source of life, the one who created all the universe, the one who's in charge, the one that gets to make the rules, the one that can enforce the rules. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The God who's proven himself, the God of all creation, he was the one that saw our sorry souls in bondage and got us out of there. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Why would we want one? Why would we want another God? He's the one that saved our soul out of bondage. He's the one that's given us the promised land. He's the one that saw us through the wilderness when we were too stiff-necked and hard-headed and stubborn to go in and take the land which he told us we could have. I don't know how he would have done it, but listen, he eventually took little David, who was a man after God's own heart, and killed one of those giants. He could have knocked off the whole bunch of them 40 years earlier, more than 40 years earlier. In fact, a couple hundred years earlier, if they just had taken it. Thou shalt not make any unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. And that's not saying you can't have pictures in your house. That's not what it's saying. In the context, he says, thou shalt not have any other gods. You're not going to make any look like that. And verse 5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For the Lord thy God am a jealous God visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. In other words, I'm not stopping this mess that they bring on themselves. The sinful choices of one generation is going to come back to visit them with the next generation. But we could stop all this if you would just let us do it right in the first place. Don't be bowing down. Don't be creating some other God. Some other thing is going to have all the wisdom, is going to have the provision, the protection. Verse 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Isn't that the God you want? Why would we want any other God? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I'm sorry, we're so used to that. Even Christians do it. And I know they don't mean to be disrespectful, but the fact is we are. Alan's shop down here, C.R. Smith. When I came up here, I had a Jeep. And it would just stop. I would drive, it would just stop. And I took it to a 5-star Jeep dealer. They couldn't find anything. I took it to a 5-star Chrysler dealer. They couldn't find anything. I took it down to Alan. Sure enough, those guys found it. They fixed it. They know what they're doing. But watch this. Suppose you said, someone said, hey, I got a little problem with my car. Should I take it down to Alan's? Alan's, yeah, well. Yeah, Alan. You know what I just did? I took his name in vain. Well, something happened. Oh, Lord. We forgot who we're talking about. We forgot whose name that is. But, you know, he's my best friend. Suppose Alan stand over here and someone comes up and they said, should I get Alan to fix it? Alan, yeah. And he overhears me. What does that do to him? Do you realize God's everywhere? And when I say, oh, Lord, he heard it. He heard it. And we're expecting him to be happy with us. We're expecting him to help us be successful. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. Watch. Middle verse 7. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. He's not going to just shrug it off. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I know the New Testament says don't judge any man upon their Sabbaths. But what's it saying? Restings. Your job is to rest in the Lord. You do what you need to do, but the fact is God is your safety. God is your peace. God is your rest. We'll get into that a bit more when we get there. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of thy God. And in it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that was within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. All dad, he was just a mess. He was a jerk. Maybe he was. Well, he's your father. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. If we hate a man, we've killed him, and we've committed murder in our heart already. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, my soul. I'm not trying to be mean. See, I can't believe he actually is saying these things. He's gonna make somebody mad. Well, I can't believe we're doing these things. We're going to make God mad. I'm not trying to be mean. See, this is what I'm saying. We want the formula for success, but the fact is, we think we're doing it. And as a society, we're not. Sometimes as individuals, we're not. Now, I am glad that his mercy is new every morning. And there's not one sin that wasn't paid for on the cross. But the fact is, that doesn't give us a license. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. But shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Besides the fact of being thrown in God's face, we're missing out on the promise of the success that he guarantees when we observe to do according to all that's written therein. Verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Do you realize the ketchup packets at McDonald's aren't there for the free for the taking? To fill up your bottle when you get home? You realize that? I'm sorry, you're going to have to buy Heinz at the store. You say, oh, well, they expect it. That's why they have to raise the prices, because people steal. Now put some on your burger. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't take it home for the cookout next weekend. Follow me. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Do you know what they did? We start stretching the truth. Bearing false witness. Here's a hard one. You ready for this one? This ought to be preached on a bunch of times. Thou shalt not, verse 17, covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant. That's his tractor. Nor his maid. No, I guess that's not his manservant. That's his hired hand. And his maidservant, nor his ox. That's his tractor. Nor his ass, nor his anything that is thy neighbor's. That's a hard one. Especially when the TV commercial comes on and says, boy, if you get this one, you'll be envy of the neighborhood. And we laugh. We don't even think anything about it. Do you realize that's an exact affront to what this is saying? Really? And yet we think we're doing just fine. My wife and I have said it so many times, our society is so far, including us, so far from what God is looking for, we can't even see the line where it starts. We're totally out of touch. So we found out we must decide to do the Decalogue distinctly. Turn not from the right hand, verse 7, not from the right hand or to the left. And we need to do it in order to do well, verse 7, that, the purpose, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, hang tight with me. I want to work through this last verse now. There's some good things in here. Listen now. He said, well, don't get sleepy on me. Don't get tired on me now. This is the formula for guaranteed success. Now, I'm not going to ask how many people want to be a success. No sense of doing that. You know. Here's the summary. A restatement, just in case you're still missing the point. Let's say it this way. First thing, I'm going to give you a letter A here. The law is to be part of our everyday life. I don't do this because that's wrong. We don't do this because it's wrong. We fear God. We're not going to do this. You've heard me say this, but the church I grew up in, it didn't even have a lock on it. When my aunt lived right at the corner of two main roads in the little town we lived in, right by the stoplight, and it was right there, but in the corner, right there. And they were out of town, and she said, "You know what? I'm not sure." I said, "We're on the road. I'm not sure." I can't remember exactly what it was. It was something like, "I think we left the stove on. Would you go check it?" "Well, how are we going to get in?" "Oh, it's not locked." On Main Street, with the main road coming into town, right on the corner. And you can get to the back door back there amongst the trees. No one would have ever seen anything. And if they did see somebody, they probably would figure, hey, you know, everybody's honest around here. It doesn't matter. So we went up. Sure enough, walked in the back door. There wasn't a lock on the door. We didn't need a key. Wouldn't have been any good if we had a key. Went in, checked it, went home. I couldn't believe it. But that's where we lived. That's where we lived. Because the main laws of God, a lot of the main laws of God were in their heart. Look what it says. This book of the law, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now, I talked about this a little bit last week because I just wanted to make sure you get a little touch of it. God had it written down, the book, so we can have it and not stray from it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That means the scriptures should be on the tip of our tongues all the time. Don't depart out of their mouth. I've ever seen there's some people who chew gum all the time, never departs out of their mouth. That's what they do. We've been watching the Olympics. There was a couple of guys who were standing there waiting to do something. You know? And a couple of them were there together, and I don't know what it was, but I think it was synchronized chewing or something. But there they were, all around the same time. And it doesn't depart out of their mouth. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It should be on the tip of our tongues, ready to come popping out at any moment. The law should inhabit our conversation. The law should inhabit our conversation. When a decision needs to be made, the Word of God should be the predominant and the first thing that comes into the discussion, into the hearts and the minds. Listen, there's been some times we've made some pretty tough decisions in the deacon's board. One of the things I love the most is, sure enough, we'll sit, sometimes it gets real quiet. We're all talking, all the thinking. Finally, somebody will come up with some words of wisdom right out of the book. Well, there you go. There's the answer. That's what we got to do. I think it's one of the reasons why the Lord has blessed this church. Because, you know, that's part of the formula for success. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. When we speak, the Word of God should have priority in what we say. We should never allow the Word of God to stop being the primary source of our thoughts and our choices and our communications. Well, you're trying to take the fun out of everything, aren't you? No, I'm trying to bring the success into everything. My mom, well, when I grew up, we kind of grew up in the country, and my dad's always had an antique car buff, and he had a garage full of stuff, and some of you were down years ago when he was still alive. And we didn't let you upstairs because it's on my soul, just stuff everywhere. But, you know, it was a great place for a bunch of boys, you know, want to have fun. And we go up there and we found some wheels. And we made some coaster cars. And we'd race them. We had some hills and we'd run them down there. And, of course, you'd play demolition derby and all kinds of stuff, you know. And just like the, always was just like the Indianapolis, you know, just the way it was. But one wheel would kind of go up on another one, you know, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we were out there playing, and my mom said, now, don't go out there and get hurt. You know that one hill. Don't you do that. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. I hadn't been thinking about that hill. That's a pretty good hill. Yes, ma'am. Where's that hill? You know? Now, the rule was, don't do the hill. But that's no fun. And it was a lot of fun for a while. And then this other stuff happens. And one wheel gets over this, and all of a sudden someone's here, and we're piled up in here, and we're twisted like this, and somebody's got an asphalt rash on the side of the cheek, and drug their leg down the side of the tar and chip road there. And it's fun for a while. But he says there's going to be a problem. What monopolizes your conversation? What monopolizes your conversation? Now, I don't think I was going to talk about being home. No, you know, we sat at our house last night and Zane and Gabby was there Nathan was there, and of course we did a little bit on Friday night too. And we sat there and we laughed and we joked and cut up and had a wonderful time. And personally, Christians ought to be the happiest people in town. But the fact is, we can be happy if we don't have all this other mess. We're worried about all this stuff. We're afraid somebody's going to come in. Listen, you do wrong, you're looking over your shoulder all the time and trying to see who's looking. That's no fun. We know what is in our heart. You say, well, I'm not sure. My conversation is not that bad. Well, we know what's in our heart by what comes from our mouth when we're thinking about it, when we're not thinking about it. What comes falling out? Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then thou shalt have good success. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Now watch. In order for the word of God to be predominant source of thought and conversation in our lives, the thing that overpowers all other thoughts, we must be thinking about it all day. We say that. In other words, get up in the morning. That's why it says I go early in the morning and I read. Go to the Word early in the morning. Find out what it says. Again, Brother Nathan, he's new to all this, and he's been talking to folks a few bit here and there, and I think he's starting to appreciate what Daddy does now. And he says it's funny. He said, the other day, he said, I did my devotions, and then somebody came in and asked me a question. And I thought, I wouldn't have known that thing, but I did my devotions, and there it was. Boy, I said it real smart. That's happened to me, so I can't tell you how many times that's happened to me. And by the way, you might have some advice you need to give yourself. But see, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And you might have exactly what you need. And the Spirit promises to bring to our remembrance, but the fact is we didn't put it in the remembrance in the first place. He says, watch, verse 8 says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate. That word meditate means to murmur, to ponder, to mutter to yourself. even like the song I said I wrote for this verse. This book of the law, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate there. Nathan, he's funny. Of course, it's different now, I guess, but I'm picking on him this morning. But he talks to himself in the shower. Don't tell him I said that. I walk down the hall, I can hear him talking to himself in the shower. And he's running scripture through his mind. And he's thinking about this, and you can tell he's thinking, okay, now I'm going to say, no, that's not a good way to say it. I'm going to say it this way. And I'm going to do this. And it's absorbing his thinking. Well, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. Now, he's not perfect. I'm not perfect. But the fact is, that's because we need to know the Word of God, because we're not perfect. That's why we need to meditate therein day and night, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. You leave out the first part, you can't claim the then. Mutter it to yourself. We speak it to ourselves in order to remind us, to convince ourselves to actually live by them. Verse 8 again says, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. To make sure we do, to protect ourselves, to observe, to protect ourselves from doing anything other than what the book says. To be circumspect about it, to attend with great detail, to according to all, in every way, every sense, the whole thing. You can stay right where you are. I'm going to read this to you. In Deuteronomy 6, just before Joshua, Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. It says, now these, Deuteronomy really means the second statement of the law. They're getting ready to go into the promised land after 40 years in the wilderness. And by the way, they couldn't avoid the law by waiting to go into the promised land. You want to go in the promised land, you still got to go back to the law. You can't change that. And so he gives it, here comes, says, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the command to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thine soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Not just in your brain, not just on the tip of your tongue, but there in your brain, on the tip of your tongue, so they'll go into your heart. Look at verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up, that thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. What a fanatic! I mean, you're serious? Yeah. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all. Listen, that's what we're supposed to do. Put it on the house. Put it here. Well, it just kind of seems like a little overdone. Well, fine. Fail. Not trying to be mean. Go ahead. It's your choice. Or let's say it this way. Don't reach your full potential then. So, well, I'm not a failure. Okay. All right. But we don't know what we're missing out on. We soon forget. We need to observe to do according to all, by meditate thereon day and night. We, you know what? Now, hang on with me here. I'm still not getting done. We need to be in church. We need to be in church. I told you last week, I am not a book learner. My wife is a book learner. Nathan's a book learner. I got to hear it. Just tell me. Tell me. I never took notes. If I took notes, I can think of one thing at a time. Honest. One thing at a time. And if I'm taking notes, I've just missed what he just said. I'm writing down what he said a minute ago, and I missed what he said now. It just doesn't work. I just got to just give it to me, and I'm going to catch as much as I can on the way down. But you come to church consistently, you might be surprised what we'll learn. We need to read it, though. We do need to read. We need to make it a matter of meditation. We need to have it as a primary part of our communication. That's why you ought to have good music you put in your car. Not something that pulls you down away from the Lord, but brings back to remembrance the promises and the blessings and the truths. Well, people make fun of me. Be strong. Have a good courage. Sometimes it's going to appear that it's too difficult to actually obey the word of God. Be strong. Be of a good courage. Now here's the guarantee. Verse 8. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. For then, watch this, at that time, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt have good success. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then, not until then. Are we up to the then part? If we're not up to the then part, then we can't claim the prize. For then, at that time, when the conditions are met, success starts to happen. Now there's no promise of there's no promise that you're going to get a, you know, you're going to get a Cadillac. There's no promise that this or that and the other thing, but success begins to happen, not the failure. Thou shalt, said, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. I like that. Look at it. For then who? So I thought God does it. He does. As soon as you decide to kick it into place. You want to make yourself, God's just against me. He's not against you. He died for you. If he's against you, why did he waste bearing your sins on the cross? He says, you want to say, well, it's just not happening. And as you know, as soon as it starts to happen, then maybe I'll start doing these things. No! Then, after you've done that, when you observe to do according, that's your heart desire. Are you going to mess up? Sure you are. That's why we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the part with the failure part there, this goes out the window. What sins are you talking about? What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. In the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore. So we get to start with our mercies new every morning. Well, I blew it yesterday, I know, and he knows that. But you're going to try again today? We're going to do it again today. The guarantee, he says, it can happen, but it's, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. You got a key. You got a car. Now, you don't make the engine run, but you can decide if it's going to run. You aren't the one that makes you prosperous, but you can decide if the engine's going to start. And the key is, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, it is your choice to make it happen. We need to plug in the elements. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. A positive motion. Progress in a good direction. I forget where it was. We did something. We were going somewhere. And we were on vacation or something. And boy, were we making time in the wrong direction. Making good time. Not going where it's supposed to, but boy, I tell you what, we're getting good gas mileage. Making good time. Looks good on the books. But we didn't get to the proper destination. For then now, he said positive. We've been doing this and this and this, and I've got this and this going on in my life. Good. Are you going in a positive direction? You're making positive progress. We have a treadmill in our house. Now, don't get ahead of me. Why are you laughing? It makes a great clothes tree. We had, no, she was doing it better. I mean, it's in the basement. You can't even get to the thing right now. And you can tell why. You know what's going on. But anyway, we can work hard and work up a sweat and go nowhere in life because we're not doing according to His law. Don't blame God for your lack of success. It is your choice whether to plug it in or not. Why? No, listen, watch. I know this is difficult to believe, and you think you must be misunderstanding what God is saying here, but let me emphasize one more time, verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? It says, okay, these are God's clear instructions. He's not pulling your leg. God is now speaking figuratively. He says, now be strong. Look at verse 9. And of good courage. Watch. Is this where we are? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, this all sounds good, and I wish I could do it, but I'm going to have to walk out that door. And I have nothing to stand on but God and His Word. It does sound like a winner. But don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be strong. Have a good courage. Be not afraid. Don't stand in fear. Don't stand all in dread. He says, I know this sounds like it's a crazy thing to do. You may be stunned by the implication of what God is saying, but neither be thou dismayed. Don't faint on me here. That's what he's saying. Don't faint on me here. Don't have a breakdown. Don't be confused about this thing because, look, for the Lord, verse goes on, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God promised it. He's going to do it wherever you happen to be in life. If we do not do these things, we have no guarantee of God being with us and guiding us. We are in a great risk of doing foolish and hurtful things to ourselves and to others. If we do these things, God promises He will make our way go in a positive progress, a good success. Well, let's see. Real quick, and we're all done. Joshua 21. I know we're in a little bit, but I want you to see this. Joshua 21, verse 43. We're at the end of Joshua's life. Where we read was they were just getting ready to go across the River Jordan. They were going to have to take the walls down in Jericho. They were going to have a big loss at Ai because they started trusting themselves. But God's going to give them the land. He says, now Joshua, it's going to get scary. Don't be afraid. Don't faint on me here. You just keep doing what I'm telling you to do. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. What good is that going to do when I come up to the law of Jericho? What good is that going to do? I'll tell you what it's going to do. God's going to tell you, walk around that thing 7 times. I'm going to walk it around. Don't say a word. I'm going to walk around it once each day. And on the 7th day, we're going to walk around it. Don't say a word. And we get all the done. On the 7th day, when I tell you to blow the horn, give it all you got. Yeah, that'll work. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Because, you see, if it made sense, it wouldn't take faith. If it doesn't take faith, then we don't need God. And we never see Him work. And we walk around, where's God? I don't see Him. That's because you're never plugged in to the plan. Joshua 21:43, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land. Ha, look at that. Which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. Huh, happened just like he said. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto the fathers. Wow. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Look at chapter 24, verse 31. Joshua 24, 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. They served. They did what they were supposed to do. Jump just a couple pages to Judges chapter 2, verse 7. Judges chapter 2, verse 7. This is the next thing that happens. Joshua's been there, and it says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance in Timotheres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. But there rose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. You know why? Because it says, teach them your children. And they forgot. Everything will be all right. We live in America. No one can take us. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. By the way, who are you following, God or his law or the world and their gods? And then they forsook the Lord and served the Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel and delivered them into the hands of the spoilers and that spoiled them. And he sold them to the hands of the enemies round about so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. You know what it means? The enemies were there when God was giving them good success. But now they're not keeping the law of the Lord. God's no longer giving them good success. The world didn't change. The people of God changed. So they could no longer stand before the enemies. Verse 15, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil. As the Lord has said, as the Lord hath sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. If you feel like the Lord's against you, maybe almost in every turn, maybe you need to heed the warning, be strong and of a good courage. Observe to do according to all that's written therein. Don't turn to it. Psalm 34, 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him, and fear the Lord, ye his saints. For there's no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So the question is, are you really serious about this in the 21st century? Yep. That is, if you want to claim the promises. In order to claim the guarantee, you have to buy the program. If you misuse or abuse the program, you can't claim the guarantee. Well, no one really lives by those traditions anymore. First of all, it's not traditions. It's the law of God. And by the way, have you noticed they're not seeing the blessings of God either? If you notice where we are? This week, today, next week, we need to make a daily decision to understand the law of God, to meditate therein day and night. It needs to be the forefront of our thinking until it's oozing out of our mouths. And then we'll be more likely to observe, to do according to the law. And if we do that, will make our way prosperous. Unusual things. When we were talking to the banks about the loan for the church building back here, they all said, well, aren't you going to go to all the people and ask them for pledges? I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, all the other churches do it. I said, we're not like all the other churches. Not going to do it.
Listen, I don't want the building if it's not in your heart to build it. If it's in your heart to build it, the money will come in to do it. This is not Sterling Walsh's building. It's God's building. The people of God get to build it. But if you're not going to, Moses says, give us of your own free will, and God blessed. That's how we're going to do it. And the point is this. The world says, this is really weird. Why are you doing this? Everybody else does. It's just not that bad. I don't care if it's just not that bad. I'm going to do it. And the fact is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when we come, we believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. And when we go out in faith to do what he's called us to do, he says, I like that. I'm going to bless that dumb, stupid Sterling Walsh. You know, he doesn't have much to offer, but at least he trusts me. That's not a good place to say amen. No, you're right. Amen. Amen. It is. It's right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking this to us this morning. Lord, this is one of those things we talk about, we think about, we claim we do, and yet we really don't look at it seriously, to meditate therein day and night, to observe, to make it a point, to observe, to do according to all that's written therein. And then yet we want to somehow claim a Santa Claus promise from you. Lord, help us get serious and make some decisions. I mean serious. Dead serious. And make some decisions. And rise up in faith and do what we're called to do and what you give the promise. Our heads are bowed.